Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, professional adult, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with, including being an adult, in this conversation with the Reluctant Therapist.
Well, I stood stone like at midnight, suspended in my masquerade, and I combed my hair till it was just right, and commanded the night brigade. I was open to pain and crushed by the rain, and I walked on a crooked crutch. I strode all along to a fallout zone, came out with my soul untouched. I hid in the cloud and wrath of the crowd. When they set it down, I stood up.
This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Hank. Nothing like starting off the afternoon with a little Bruce Springsteen and Growing Up from the Greetings from Asbury Park album, which came out around the time of my early education. Do you remember that album coming out?
I remember it. I was never a huge fan of The Boss, but I'm not uninfluenced by him.
Well, and I think, we talk about soundtracks of our lives, and definitely if you're a child of the 70s, 80s, 60s, 70s, 80s, Bruce is part of the soundtrack, his music is, especially because I have a lot of very heavy, deeply rooted East Coast connections, so that lives in me. But it was also the perfect song for today because you mentioned adults and adulting in your introduction. We're going to talk about the process of becoming an adult and what are those skills we need to become effective adults, and whether or not we actually feel like we... When do we know if we're adults? Do you believe you're a bona fide adult? And where did you learn those skills? So it's a lofty conversation, all kind of centered around these moves we make in our life towards growing up and how we learn those lessons. And what inspired this show was a story that I heard on NPR a few weeks ago. Maybe you heard it, about the adulting schools.
Did not hear that.
So, you know, at first it made me laugh and cringe and all, you know, how can we be at this place where we actually have to have adulting schools for all millennials who have somehow graduated from universities with more education than any generation before them. They're more well-traveled, right? They've had more experiences. And yet emotionally, socially, and just in the common sense realm, they are lacking those basic skills to function. And so... how do we get to this place where we've created a need for an adulting school where young people can go and learn the basic skills of, you know, how to take a red wine stain out of a couch or folding sheets or financial literacy? So I heard that show, and at first, you know, as I said, kind of laughed and cringed. And then I thought, in my work at Poly, where I'm surrounded by 20-somethings all the time, that they really do struggle with just... kind of, they're very fragile when it comes to their emotional and social lives. They struggle a lot with mental health concerns, and they struggle with kind of the tasks of daily living. And of course, it's an offshoot of that helicopter parenting that happened in my generation of parents, where they're so over-involved in every single piece of their children's lives that it's taking longer and longer for young people to actually know how to make a doctor's appointment or, you know, to fix a meal. And so those two kind of came together for me. And then I started thinking about, you know, where would we learn those skills? Where do we learn those basics? And do my generation of parents even know the basics themselves? Because there has been such a move towards hiring out all sorts of labor, from cooking to housekeeping, you know, to just all of the general tasks of raising a family. Like, where have we learned these? And I remember, you know, in the olden days, there was home economics, home ec, and they had it in my elementary school and high school, and most of my friends took it. I didn't, and I'm not really sure why, but I didn't. And I start thinking, without home ec, where are we going to teach these skills? And why did home ec go away? Did you take home economics?
I took a cooking class in middle school, so it wasn't home ec per se where you learn all that stuff, but I took a class on just real basic things like how to, you know, boil water and how to make basic dishes.
Did it save you at any time in your life?
No, I think it was more of a, just an elective thing that was kind of fun. It never saved me. I think what really propelled me into adulthood was going away to school. I went to a community college for 3 years, and I didn't feel too much of an adult during that because I still lived at home and I still had my parents to cook for me and clean for me and do all that adult stuff that pops in. But then when I went away to school, when I started having to do all that stuff and fend for yourself and write checks and pay bills and cook meals and do your laundry and wash your sheets, then that all became...
But did your mother teach you those skills before you left for college, or did you have to trial by error learn these things?
She taught me how to separate my whites from my colors, but nothing like I'm going to show you how to do your laundry. I mean, it was
right, or pay the bills, the financial. Well, and it's interesting also because your mother and my parents were not of the helicopter parenting generation. They basically kicked us out of the nest and said, "Enjoy." Right?
Yeah.
We'll see you at the holidays. So there has been a change in that. So would you in any time, do you wish you'd had those home economics classes? You know, because it's more than just cooking. It's kind of those do-it-yourself tasks and learning about financial literacy, like all those pieces. Do you think that would have helped?
It couldn't have hurt. I mean, I eventually picked up on all that stuff just through experience. But it probably would have been not a bad idea.
Yeah, well, I'm curious today to hear, you know, what everyone thinks about this proposal of bringing home ec back into our curriculum. And it's not that it's completely gone away, because actually home economics classes still exist around the country in junior high and high schools and even in some college programs, although the name has changed. So it hasn't completely disappeared. It's still available. But my proposal today is actually making home economics mandatory. I mean, maybe it needs to be right up there with reading, writing, and math, the home economics skills needed to run a household, to care for ourselves, and by making it one of the fundamental things we learn. Because remember, we're talking about the majority of our young people going through and gaining their education through public school system. And the public school system sets its curriculum by the standards, you know, dictated by the government or the education department. And some of the fundamental tasks of public education was to create a literate citizenship and also an aware citizenship, and to create kind of a uniformed population or uniformed understanding of what it was to be an American and to be able to be an adult. They talked about in the original creation of the public education policies was the importance of helping to create a whole adult with all of the skills they needed to go out and be informed citizens in the world. And so you would think that one of the fundamental things of becoming a whole adult would be those skills of self-care and wellness and cooking and homemaking and all those things that are the foundations of our lives. And yet, instead of moving closer to what it looks like to raise and educate young people into becoming whole adults, we've moved further away and discounted the whole adult skills. We've taken ethics out of the schools. We've taken citizenship out of the schools. And we've, you know, diminished home economics to being an elective that many students don't take because they're so concerned about building their college resume and building, you know, their application so they can get into an elite school that they don't have room in their schedule for things like home economics. And so we've moved further and further away from actually educating whole adults and have, you know, found ourselves in kind of this monoculture of raising young people who are academically gifted and yet in some ways socially and emotionally really stunted. So I kind of want to throw out that idea. What do you think of mandatory home economics in the school systems? And what would that look like? And did you take home economics when you were going through school? And was there any value to that? You know, it's funny because I was held up getting into the studio today, because usually I like to get here pretty early so I can talk to Bree and coordinate with Hank and kind of get settled in. But I was kind of bogged down by my own homemaking tasks, my home economics. I was paying some bills and folding some laundry, and I had to vacuum and clean up the floor because my granddaughter's coming down for a few days, so I really wanted the house to be immaculate. And while I was doing all of this, I was thinking, gosh, there's such a zen to cleaning your home and to creating food and to folding the laundry. It's like, this is in the sky is so blue and my backyard looks so lovely today and the birds were chirping. And like, there's something really beautiful about just kind of going through the tasks, the daily tasks of living and folding things and making it feel nice. And when I left the house today to come to the studio, I left feeling really kind of light and energetic. I looked at the house as I walked out the door and I went, ooh, I can't wait to come back. I can't wait to come in and sit on my couch and just feel the comfort of the home. And so I wonder, you know, what it is we've lost in our pursuit of making life easier, right? More convenient, things like the microwave oven and Zumbas and cleaning services. You know, what have we lost? All the takeout foods, you know? In trying to move towards more convenience and making life happen more efficiently, we've given up, I think, a lot of that quality of life that actually supports and sustains our mental health, that gives us a real sense of grounding. There's something, you know, really fundamental about home care that grounds us in ourselves and in our psyche that I think is really important. So this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can be part of our conversation at 781-3875. You can also find me on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. You can send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. And you can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. Or you can podcast our shows through iTunes, The Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Go there and you can subscribe and all of the shows will be downloaded and you can listen whenever you'd like. So before we jump into the conversations, let me give you a little bit of history about home economics and how we got to where we are with home ec in our curriculum. You know, the thing that's interesting about economy and home economy is that the word economy actually begins in the home. The word comes from the Greek oikonomos. Oikonomos, and my Greek isn't that good. Oikonomos, and it means one who manages the household. So the whole foundation of our idea of economics and the economy came from this Greek word of one who manages the household. And in 1914, the Smith-Lever Act was introduced to bring home ec into extension programs around the U.S. as a way of improving the quality of home life, teaching things like cooking, clothing, home furnishing, home relations, basic wellness, health, sanitation, financial management. All of those foundations for helping people to live well. And so out the course of history, throughout the next 100 years, home economics actually developed into a science, a very respected science. In 1899, there was a program that was started, I want to say at Vassar, that was inspired by, Awesome. The name of this woman. It was inspired by a woman who went to MIT and got a degree in sanitary engineering. And she was teaching kind of those life skills through it. And they kind of translated those skills of sanitary living into the foundation of home economics. And in 1899, they actually formed the first organization that became the American Association of Home Economics. And so home economics kind of grows and develops throughout the country, you know, for the next 100 years. And it's in the 60s and 70s that the whole home economics movement hits some glitches because the women's movement, a lot of the women who were involved in the women's movement, felt that home economics was really focused on limiting and restricting opportunities for young women, that it was really just about training young women to become housewives. And so they really devalued that the work of doing domestic work such as cooking and cleaning and taking care of the home, which was unfortunate because with kind of the movement away from home economics and the value in learning those skills of taking care of the house and taking care of the children and taking care of relationships. Nobody was learning those skills. And I think there's been this correlation between the movement away from valuing the emotion work or the economy work that's done in the household to focusing solely on the resource work, which involves bringing money into the household. And with everyone focused on bringing money into the household, we find ourselves in a place where we need to have adulting skills because people aren't learning those basic skills of self-care and home care anywhere else. And it's funny because it's not just about the domestic piece. You know, there's the financial literacy, which is huge. There's the domestic parts of sewing and cooking and cleaning. But there also is a whole piece of home economics that talks about relationships and how to develop relationships and how to maintain a marriage. The piece of relational skills really are involved in how we maintain mental health and well-being. And then finally, the parts of home economics with the DIY, how to be able to hang a picture by finding the stud in the wall, how to change a tire, you know, in your car, kind of those, how to change the or check the oil. Like there was very full curriculum that kind of got thrown out in this one movement. And as I said before, it's not that home economics has totally gone away. It's changed a little bit now. It's called Family and Consumer Sciences, FCS, in schools, and it's changed the way it looks, but it still exists in some way. So here we are in this state of the world where we have young people looking for those basic tools of running a home, and we have this curriculum that has existed for a long time. How can we bring the two together, and should we? Should it be mandatory, or should we continue focusing strictly on the basics of the public education? Did you take home ec? Did it help? 805-781-3875 is a number to be part of the conversation. Hi, Melissa, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, Elizabeth. I love your show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I did take home ec. It was probably about 1988. And I had a mom that taught me chores. Now, with that said, I usually agree with your shows, but I think this could be an opportunity for more family time, family lessons. I'm struggling with that with my 12-year-old to get her to do chores and understand, you know, separating the whites and the colors and so she's a good roommate in college. So that's where I stand. Now, having it be mandatory, I might make some people mad, but I think it should be mandatory for some men because to this day I see married people and sometimes men will not do the dishes.
Well, and I'm so glad you brought that up because that was going to be the next point that I brought up is, you know, the whole idea of the women's movement in the 60s and 70s was about equality, right? That it shouldn't be woman's work and man's work, that we should all be doing the same work. And in our efforts to get rid of home ec in as mandatory, we have kind of in ways ruined our opportunity to equalize relationships because if men aren't in schools learning these skills and normalizing these skills is just a part of adult life, it ends up falling on women. And we still today, right, we still today, in two-thirds of households around the country, the work of caring for children and taking care of the home, two-thirds of these homes all still fall on the women. But the majority of them still work full-time jobs and do the home care, the home economy. So I think we do ourselves a disservice by not making it mandatory for both men and women because it's not helping us reach equality in our relationships.
I agree with you on that. Definitely. It's a good topic. I do see that there is a home economics course mm-hmm. offered at the middle school, mm-hmm. but you're right. It is different. So my concern is, though, since art and music are being cut, that I'm concerned that if we do the home ec component, we might lose more of the arts, whereas I do agree with you, the millennials are, you know, I hide their phones just to to watch them freak out. You know, they can't, it's hard for them to function without a phone. So I could see, like, life stuff. Now, when I was their age in college, I had to figure things out. I moved far away from my mom, 17, and I had to figure out financial aid. I had to get a job. I had to figure out how to pay bills out of necessity. Mm-hmm. So I guess moving away to college would be a really good proponent for that, or taking home ec. So great show, Elizabeth. I just thought I'd call in and say hi.
Thank you, Melissa. Thanks for kicking us off. And there, that is the problem. We look at public education. You know, teachers say there's not enough time in the day to teach all of the things that we're needing to teach young people to be able to compete in a very competitive workforce and in the world. So if not in school, though, where else are these skills learned? Because one of the other big changes from the women's movement is that the majority of women work outside the home full time. And so parents now in 2017 are working longer hours than ever before as a whole. They're spending less time with their children on the whole. And so who has the time to teach these basic homemaking skills to their children? If not in school, where? And I again go back to my question, what is it, what is the unintended consequences we're facing as a culture by not valuing economy, the managing of a household? What have we given away for our mental health and well-being and the quality of our relationships? Hi, Tori, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, so I'm 34, so I also took home ec in, the early 90s, I think. And I would say to this day, it's still one of the most useful classes that I took in school, and I probably learned the most life skills in that class. I mean, I know that was kind of the point, but I still sew. I mean, I fold sheets. I teach my kids. These are the things I learned in that class. And so you were kind of talking about the consequences, and, you know, I make my kids Halloween costumes every year. And so I can save money that way by having those sewing skills I learned at home ec, rather than buying the disposable cheap polyester ones at Target or whatever. If they need their pants hemmed, I can do that. If they, you know, so I can buy them an extra size bigger and let them out and not have to buy so many clothes. So, you know, there's so many useful skills that help in those kinds of things that I think that we are missing out in home ec by not having mandatory home ec. I think that's a fantastic idea.
Well, and it's interesting because you talked about saving money, and one of the articles I read talked about in 2007 with the crash of the economy, a lot of people were turning back to those DIY skills and needing to save money and be more economical in their spending and make food at home and have gardens. And that, you know, as the world continues to become more challenging and the job market dries up, how much more valuable are these basic living skills going to be?
Yeah, and then you also have the basic food prep skills you learn in home ec. I mean, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that food you make at home with fresh ingredients is better for you and usually less expensive than what you can buy, you know, at a restaurant. And so if kids don't know basic knife skills, sure, they can get it done, but they'll think, oh my God, what a pain in the butt for me to have to prep this myself. I'll just go by and pick one up, a salad or a sandwich or whatever. And so there's all kinds of, you know, money saving and just really useful skills you learn in home ec.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well said. Thank you, Tori. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. If you're just tuning in, I pose the question, what happened to home economics and why is it not mandatory when we see this huge disconnect in our mental health and well-being and relationships that struggle, right? Marriages struggle across the board. Where are we going to learn these skills? And here we had a curriculum for 100 years that taught those basic skills of relationships and wellness and financial literacy, and we kind of threw it away and opted for focusing much more on academics and resource work and, you know, getting out into the world of making money. And yet with no one home to do these skills, what's happened? What have been the unintended consequences of not teaching these home economic skills? And I go back to this other thing, too. Why isn't it the most valued thing in the world to have are the home economy skills to manage your home and your life and your relationships and know how to raise your children and how to sew or cook and furnish your home and care for your items? Why wouldn't that be the most important things that we learn in life? Why do we devalue these things that make the quality of our life even better? 805-781-3875. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello.
Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, I will say that I did not take home ec. I truly wish I did.
Was it offered?
It was. Okay. And I actually had a buddy that did take it. And I didn't think he was a sissy or anything like that. I just thought, wow, I wish I would have done that. I didn't realize at the time how much I would wish that. I worked in restaurants throughout junior high school and high school, so I guess I thought I was picking up skills in that regard. I am currently a domesticated male, not civilized, but I am domesticated. I cook and do dishes and clean toilets and things like that.
And where did you learn those skills?
Well, the cooking, I suppose, I learned from working in restaurants. The cleaning toilets, you just got to get in there and do it, right? I mean, it's not rocket science, I guess. But what I truly wish I would have been taught, and I heard Hank sort of toss it off casually, and the first caller mentioned it, my biggest trauma in moving out on my own at 17 was turning all of my cool white T-shirts pink. I still have not recovered. I think about T-shirts I had. So I just really want to stress that for anyone out there listening. Separate your whites and colors.
I know people underestimate a bad laundry mix can ruin your whole wardrobe.
Yeah, one pair of red sweatpants, boy, and all your T-shirts are pink.
Jeremy, thanks for taking the time to call.
Thank you for doing what you do.
Thanks. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And it's not that we have just been concerned about launching the next generation with the millennials. This has actually been an ongoing concern for generation after generation. In 1932, there was a pamphlet that was released that was titled College Prolongs Infancy in 1932. In 1972, Robert Havegerst, who was a professor and physicist, was concerned that although early adulthood was our most teachable time in those college years, we were actually not utilizing this time to teach young people the skills they would need the most. So Havegerst came up with 8 essential skills that aren't being taught to young people that would make the most difference in the quality of their life. And the 8 skills were selecting a mate, how to live with a marriage partner, starting a family, raising children, managing a home, starting an occupation, taking on civic responsibility, and finding a social group. And we still teach those 8 essential skills when we talk about launching and what young people need to learn to launch successfully. So I'm wondering how, you know, if we spent more time teaching these life and relational skills, how much better our mental health and well-being would be. And I just remind you that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so we're going to spend all month talking about how do we simply improve our mental health in ways that are right in front of us in our relationships and our day-to-day living choices. In 1987, a book was released called Grown Ups, a Generation in Search of Adulthood. In 2013, we saw our first adulting blog introduced to help young millennials find their way. So every generation has its concern about how the next generation is going to survive. And we're just kind of revisiting how we're going to help our young people and ourselves grow into adults in a way that is not just about getting food on the table or keeping the dishes clean or separating our laundry, but really that other piece of home economy, managing a home, which is the emotion work. How do we learn relationship skills in a way that we can care for ourselves and each other so that our mental health is better, that our quality of life is better? Hey, Greg, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you so much. I wanted to kind of broaden perhaps the impetus here.
Okay.
Because it's obviously hugely helpful for the health of families and society.
Yes.
And along with home ec, I think it should include communication skills, of course, constructive communication, relationship skills, of course, which you mentioned, and raising children. And the health of society. I just wanted to leave one thought, which is something I observed, to see what you think of this and your listeners. Every decision is best based on greatest health and or constructiveness.
Say that again.
Every decision is best based on health and or constructiveness.
So what does that mean to you?
Before making any decision, it's best for oneself personally and one best for one's family and society if we base our decisions on on taking care of ourselves first, like the airline hostess or
the flight attendant.
So put your oxygen mask on first before helping another. And with that frame of mind, every decision we make in every area of our life is best based on that which is healthiest for ourselves first and flowing out of that for all.
Well, and I appreciate that, Greg, because one of the things I mentioned is, you know, as we've moved away from public education focusing on the raising of a whole or adult, we've taken out those citizenship skills, you know, learning to be engaged in politics and learning how to engage with each other in community. And that is one of the founding skills of home economy, is how to develop a social group. Because before,
exactly as you said.
Because before the internet and before being able to binge flick, you know, on Netflix, people spent much more time out in the community, going to having bridge parties or having bowling leagues or having social clubs that they went to. You know, people didn't come home after work and just hang out on their couch. They came home, got a quick dinner, and then they went out to whatever their community event was that kept them tied to the community, kept them tied to each other. And as we've retreated into our homes, right, once again, we keep moving towards wanting more convenience and ease in our life. But what we've done is isolated ourselves from each other. And the more isolated we are from each other, the less community sense we have, the worse our mental health becomes. And as you talk about, the greater community suffers because there aren't people who trust and can come together to solve and address issues. So thank you for that call, Greg. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We're talking about growing up. We're talking about home economics. We're talking about those skills we need for the highest quality of life. And if we don't teach those skills in schools, when do we think our children are going to earn those skills? Where do we think they're going to develop those skills? 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of the conversation. You're listening to Public Radio, KCBX, and we'll be right back to take your calls.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. All these places have their moments. With lovers and friends, I still can recall. Some are dead and some
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and we're talking about growing up and learning the skills we need to live a high quality of life. And I'm proposing that we really focus on the skills of home economics as foundational in our launching into adulthood. And without those skills, can we ever really become truly independent adults that are responsible for ourselves and for those in our lives? 805-781-3875. Hi, Paula. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi, Elizabeth. I am a housekeeper and slash pet sitter. And I'm actually right now taking a break at a house that I'm cleaning. And I heard this on the radio, and I thought, well, I want to chime in a little bit.
Good. Thank you.
I went to elementary school in the 60s, high school in the 70s, early 70s. I took home ec in like eighth grade and learned basic sewing. And then in high school, took home ec again for more sewing and ironing. They taught everything like that. And also we had the cooking part of it also, which that seemed to include a lot more boys that took that class mm-hmm. because there was free food involved.
Exactly.
But so if you have motivation like that, but I also grew up, my mother is 94 nearly, And I grew up with a very strong work ethic. We did chores. We cleaned the house. We learned how to do it properly. We did the yard work, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get you didn't get financial compensation for it. It was just part of being a part of the family.
Exactly.
And I find that a lot of houses that I clean for, a lot of people, because they're two-income families, because I am a luxury, they're not making that time. And I see a lot of teenagers' bedrooms where it's pretty much a Where's Waldo if you're trying to find anything of teenage kids in their room. But also because I have permission to go in there and clean it up, whereas the parents would not. The parents hire me because I can't. They say, "Well, she had to go in and clean, otherwise it's like stay out of my room," to the parents. But I think that we learned a lot in the home ec classes. And just basic things. And actually, we learned how to write checks and things like that and follow the stock market in social studies back in the 70s.
Yeah, we did too. And
yeah, so we learned those things. And I think that when the kids today don't have those opportunities, when those classes are cut from the curriculum or reduced to barely anything, because their parents are usually so busy in their life and just trying to, keep up with everything, and the kids are so, incredibly busy with sports and whatever else they're doing, that you lose something. And so when they are thrown into the college situation, when they leave home, a lot of them are, gravely unprepared for doing so.
Absolutely.
Taking care of their own laundry, et cetera. And I think that if we could encourage that more and make sure there is funding, but without, like one of the other callers said, taking away from the other arts, et cetera, mm-hmm. in classes. We want to encourage to have well-rounded citizens and maybe making those classes at least in the high school level at some point before they're going too crazy with trying to get ready for college, and where they're going to go and et cetera.
Exactly. And, Paula, I'm sorry I had to cut you off, but I lost you. one of the things that we have found through the research is that the kids are so focused, not in high school, it's now in junior high, the classes are being ramped up for the intensity of getting into college. And I don't want to lose this important connection between, by focusing so much solely on this academic greatness and excelling, we are doing a huge disservice to the mental health and well-being of our children. There's something very zen, as I mentioned earlier, about cooking a meal for yourself or doing your laundry or cleaning the home. Those are beautiful extensions of caring for each other in the family. And it's a wonderful family activity to have everyone have responsibilities. We do our children a disservice by not giving them any responsibilities in the home, because then they don't feel grounded in a part of that family system. They feel kind of just like an external piece of it that has to work really hard to earn their way in the family. But if every young person in the family had chores and jobs and things that they, were responsible for, everyone feels vested in the family succeeding. So when the parents are having to work longer hours than ever, if each of the kids have their part of the family that they're responsible for, their jobs or chores, they learn to do them well. And it can be everything. Young boys, young girls need to learn all of these skills, how to check the oil in the car, right? How to change a spare tire, how to hang a picture, how to sew something, it's not just laundry and cooking. It's all of those pieces of our home life. And that gives our children a sense of groundingness. I keep going back to the same word, a sense of belonging to and being a part of something that is important, more than just their ability to get an A. So we have to rethink, the value of these skills that I think have been devalued in favor of our ability to make money. But at the end of our life, the money we make will have no bearing if our mental health is suffering or our relationships were never solid. If you really want to address obesity which is one of our number one concerns. Mental health issues, if you want to address financial literacy, because finances are the number one cause of divorce. It's also the number one problem facing families today are financial issues. If you want to address communication skills and those things that lead to breaks in relationships, you know, those things are all addressed in home economics, in family science, the FCS skills. So how do we, you know, how do we re-esteem those values in our culture? 805-781-3875. Hi, Charlie. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yeah. When I was, school in the 50s, and home ec was mainly just for girls. I don't recall any boys taking it. But we did have they did have social studies and civics, mm-hmm. which covered some of the wider ones. And I learned a fair amount for both my mom and dad in a fairly stable family, and was able to survive when I went away to college. But it certainly would have been helpful to have some of the basic skills. And I was, as I was hearing about the program, I was thinking that maybe it should be an elective for encouraged for everybody. But I'm coming around to your idea that because of the other skills and such, that looking to be a required or an important part of the curriculum.
I'm glad you're coming to my side, Charlie, because, you know, it also includes those, you know, if we want to address obesity, we have to teach nutrition and proper cooking skills. If we want to address financial literacy, we have to teach young people how to budget and manage their money. All these things are part of home economics.
Oh, certainly.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and as I say, I think that, it's a great thing. Actually, I've gotten around to reading Ishmael. We can talk about that later.
Yay, I'm so
glad. I'm glad you recommended it. I'm going to send you an email with some of my thoughts on it.
I can't wait, and encourage everyone in your world.
It's interesting. I was surprised that it was available in my local bookstore. I was thinking, well, I have a small local bookstore, and I was thinking, well, they're going to order it. They had it in stock, and I was stopped by, got a bite to eat at a local restaurant, and there's a lady that had read it, and she was impressed. I was carrying it around with me, working on it, and such. And I think, particularly, with the current election, I think there's some real thoughts on that.
Well, I'm glad. And Charlie, I hope you'll send me an email.
Yeah.
We can talk about that later. Yes, read Ishmael. Because we're talking today, focus most on becoming adults and how do we prepare ourselves, young people, the next generation, for the skills of living. And again, if we step back a little bit and think about what really determines a quality of life, it has everything to do with home economy, with home economics, managing the home, those skills of learning, you know, nutrition and relationship skills and how to sew and how to take care of things. And it's not only for the ability to make doctor's appointments, to go get your exams. And again, it's not that we don't have these classes offers. Home ec still exists. And California is the only state that still refers to home economics as home ec. In 1994, home economics actually formally became family and consumer sciences to cover all of those parts of life that are important for managing a family, and also to dispel some of the old impressions that home ec was really just about teaching girls to be housewives. And again, when I read that, it makes me a little sad because I think it's a beautiful occupation. It's a beautiful avocation for a man or a woman to be a homemaker, to take that on as their primary role, because our quality of life, our mental health, our physical health, our social health relies on people who are taking care of that aspect of our life. It doesn't just happen. It's really easy to let it go. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of the conversation. Hi, James. You're on the air.
Hi there. I think you've bitten off quite a bit to chew today.
I know. I feel a little bit anxious to get to it all.
Yeah. I wanted to make a couple of points. Your earlier caller Paula talking about the pressures that are put on kids from extracurricular activities, and then you're expounding on that. Going back to all the way to junior high, kids are put under an incredible amount of pressure to perform at high levels, both curricularly and extracurricularly, and it really takes away from the home. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this whole idea of home economics is quite a broad topic, and it's one that that if we really focus on, you know, bringing the family back around together, focusing on the strength of the family, no matter what shape that takes, we're going to see stronger societies, because it really does, you know, if we teach tolerance and compassion at home, those values tend to spring out into the community further and further. So anyway, there's an incredible amount of pressure on our young people these days, I think.
And, I agree.
You know, I think we're seeing in the millennial generation, you started off the conversation talking about millennials in particular. I think in the millennial generation, we're seeing some of the first, you know, adults come into the world who have been raised in predominantly dual-income homes. You know,
yes.
there have been dual-income homes for a long time, but almost 100% of households in California now and over the last 10 years have been dual-income homes, and these are the adults that we're seeing now. And it just goes to show that adults who are working that much don't have that much time to give to their kids and teach them things at home.
Well, and I think, you know, there's so many layers to this, and we could do 100 shows about the layers, but it's about, you know, setting priorities and values, and each of us, you know, being able to step back and take a breath and say, what is this I'm actually chasing? You know, what is it I'm chasing in my life or with my kids? Is it worth the price of my mental health or my children's well-being to try to chase whatever that thing is, that golden ticket, right? Whether it's trying to live in a place that's too expensive or trying to keep up with a job that demands too many hours. You know, we have to take a step back and really say, at the end of my life, what will have mattered, and make the changes from there. And when I work with families, one of the biggest challenges I have is that when parents are so distraught about their kids struggling with mental health issues or struggling, you know, trying to find their place and where they fit in with their friends, all these things that parents are really supposed to be there to support that emotion work. And so I'll say to the parents, what are you willing to give up in your life to be there more for your child? And they look at me dumbfounded, like, what do you mean give up? Like, not work as much or not do my exercise? Or I'm not going to give up my life just for my child. And I said, then your child's going to struggle. And I think that's the first layer we have to look at is, you know, what are we all chasing? And in that chase, what are we leaving behind?
Yeah, I just one more comment. I saw a study recently. I wish I could remember where it was published, where they followed these scientists over a couple of generations of scientists followed groups of men. I think they were just men,
mm-hmm.
and from different socioeconomic backgrounds, and studied happiness, basically what
yes.
causes fulfillment, the emotion of fulfillment and happiness throughout life. And what they found was it was the consistency and strength of relationship.
Yes.
And that brought that around. And I, you know, that kind of points to this whole conversation. If we can be building those kinds of, you know, foundations at home, and that should be the economics that we teach at the home, in my opinion.
Right. Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to call, James. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Family. Who am I? The Reluctant Family? No, the Reluctant Therapist. Loving our family and talking about how do we bring back this idea of home economy, home economics, and the pride in being the home economist. Who's doing that home economy work at your house or in your life? Who has those necessary skills to help your family thrive, right? Those relational skills, those financial literacy skills, those healthy eating skills, those wellness skills, the communication skills. Who in your family has those skills and is teaching them to your children or to your nieces and nephews or to the people you come in contact with? Because without home economics or the home economists, the people that are doing the resource, the emotion work, we are struggling. We see it across the board. We are struggling emotionally and physically. and spiritually. And I think something as simple as shifting our priorities to focusing on the education of young people in the arts of home economy could be an easy change. I start off the show also talking about the NPR story about adulting school and how it had in one moment horrified me and the other moment made me laugh and then again made me feel sad that we have come to the place where so many young people are being launched in the world without these basic skills but great degrees that they're having to go back to these schools that are popping up to teach them how to balance a checkbook or to fold a sheet. And let's hear a little bit from that NPR show that inspired today's show.
The vibe of the adulting school is fun, but the goal behind it is serious. Co-founder Rachel Weinstein got the idea from her work as a psychotherapist. She noticed that a lot of her clients struggled with the transition to adulthood.
You know, when you see 10 people feeling like they're the only one, they're all struggling with the same thing, you think, let's get these people together so they can learn this stuff and not feel so isolated and ashamed.
Money management is a common source of stress for the school's attendees, who tend to be millennials and women. 32-year-old Lindsay Rose Scala says she's trying to figure out how to save for the future and pay off school debt.
In job interviews, you know, they're always asking, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I never know how to answer that because I'm always thinking on, like, how to, like, survive today and next week and what's coming up.
Holly Swires says this hand-wringing about adulthood goes back generations. She's an associate professor of anthropology at Lake Forest College who's researched adulthood. Part of the problem, Swire says, is that classes that teach life skills, like home ec, are no longer emphasized.
And so here we are in a place where we have underemphasized those skills we most need, and we see our young people struggling. So where do we go from there? Stella, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Well, I don't think I heard the topic that I'm just going to bring up real fast.
Okay.
I was in high school in the 50s. And at that time, if you took a college prep course, you were not going to have a home economic course at all. And so I never had that, and it was just a basic course that everybody took if they weren't planning on going to college. And so I never was interested in that at all. And then in the late 60s, I had two girls, and I was a working mother, and I worked for a utility company who had home economic employees that presented their stoves. It was a gas company, and so they would invite the public to come and have dinner with us, and the home ex would then explain everything about the appliances, and they would cook the dinner, and it was a high-paying job, and it just kept getting better and better as people became aware of what you could do with that in the in the work field.
And so, did you wish you had been able to take the home economics classes then?
I do, yeah.
Well, and I look back also because thank you for calling, Stella. I didn't take home ec in junior high because I did sports, and I was always a little envious of my friends who kind of naturally had these skills of cooking and taking care of themselves when we went into college. And so it's interesting because you bring up a point about the marketplace and where jobs are going to be in the future. And we keep hearing and reading reports about in the next, 5, 10, 15 years, we're going to see 35% of the high-tech jobs that are there today completely disappear. And that the way we work is going to change because of things being, automated and robotics and all these, self-driving cars, all these jobs that we've kind of leaned on forever as sources of income to raise families are disappearing. And so what is going to take its place? And it might be home economy that is the thing that is the work of the future. Those people who are able to come in and teach those skills or provide nutritious meals, right? We might be looking at the home economist as being one of the most highly paid professionals in the world because people will lack those skills of self-care. So I don't know. I think that it is a bigger topic than just an hour, but I think we've started the conversation a little bit about where do we learn those skills? How do we teach them? Myung, why don't you finish us up today? What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm a parent I'm 40 years old, and I have two kids. One's about to go into high school. One will go into middle school. And it's just my firm belief that parents have to teach the skills at home. Mm-hmm. And that if it's a priority, then it will be displayed in action and through words. And I'm constantly telling my kids, you know, when they're doing their chores and they're doing it wrong, I'll tell them, oh, my gosh, it would be so much faster and easier for me to just do it on my own. But I'm teaching you, I'm making you do chores, and we have a chore chart and a list and all that, because one day you're going to go to college, and you're going to need to know how to do your dishes and do your own laundry and at least make a fried egg, pack your own sandwich and things of that nature. And I just feel like you just can't do everything. So I'm coming off of working full-time. My husband worked full-time, and I had a great opportunity to work full-time this past year. And I realized that that time being taken away from the family and of me being involved in their lives was really costing them their well-being. Mm. And so a very big chunk of my decision to leave was because my priority really was their future well-being. And I see myself just being a little bit more engaged, more involved, more attentive. And I see that they're making better choices because of my involvement in their lives. Mm-hmm. And that's really rewarding.
Thank you, Myung. I'm going to leave it at that, because I think that is my takeaway from today's show, is when you look back in your life, what are those things that you are trying to achieve for yourself and for your children and for your family? And if you're not getting there, then what is in your way? What is it you need to change about your life to get there? And if we don't pay attention to the emotion work, to the home economy, caring and managing the home, mentally, physically, socially, all of those skills, taking care of our nutrition, taking care of our communication skills, our lives will continue to be a challenge. We will continue to see expanding mental health concerns. We will continue to see broken marriages. We will continue to see people feeling isolated and lost. And so wouldn't it be magic if it was something as simple as backing up and taking a reset and learning those simple skills that make life worth living, that would change the quality of life for all of us? But it would be a big step away from the current story of life being all about he who dies with the most toys wins, or making money and having a huge house being our biggest priority. This has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Listen to previous shows at kcbx.org, or you can podcast our shows through iTunes, A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You can reach me through our Facebook page, like the page, and we'll update your shows. And you can email me at elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. As always, I thank you for supporting Public Radio KCBX. I look forward to speaking to you again next Tuesday, where we continue this conversation and share the stories of our lives.
Still don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes. Turn and face the strain.
Changes. Don't wanna be a richer man. To be a different man, time may change me, but I can't trace time. Yeah. I watch the ripples change the size, but never leave the stream of warm permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes. Turn and face the strange.
Changes. Don't tell them to blow up on all of it.
That time may change me.